J8. Number 4B.
Excuse me. As truth's idea, we have the right to be the son of God. Or the daughter of God, so to speak. But we've already cleared that one up. That's a generic concept. We have the right to claim our spiritual inheritance. We have the right to be heir to the greatest estate. We have the right to be heir to the kingdom of heaven, right here and now. We have the right to have dominion over all erroneous beliefs. Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is a lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his maker. This is the science of being. We have the right to take hold of divine consciousness and to be free here and now from mortal consciousness in all its universal, collective, and individual, unconscious, subconscious, or conscious false beliefs. We have the right to direct revelation. There isn't just a few chosen one who can be in line for revelation. We have the right to claim the rights of man, to claim divine justice, to claim health, to be free of sickness, to be free from lies. We have the right to adhere to the ideal standard of truth alone and to be free from the standard set by mortal mind. And love, to be governed by love, our birthright then is the right to accept the universal fact that all men are equal, to be free from the belief in inequality, or to be free from the belief of who shall be the greatest. We have the right to welcome universal salvation and to be free from the belief in eternal damnation. A lot of people think, oh, well, it's all in a state of nihilism, that life is senseless, useless, and it all goes into damnation anyhow. We have the right to accept our complete oneness with the all-embracing, all-blessing, universal, impartial, perfect plan of love, the Mother. We have the right to be free of fear, hate, envy, jealousy, and revenge. Terrific, isn't it? This is our inalienable rights under the government of theocracy. And the subject goes on to the duties of man. We not only have the laws of God in theocracy and the rights of man, but we also have what are the duties of man. What is the responsibility of man? We have the laws of God dictating our life. We have the rights that are given to us by the Christ. But man has some kind of responsibility. And our responsibility, therefore, our highest duties would be then to be obedient and loyal to these laws of God alone. We have the duty to respond to the laws of God. And we have the duty to respond to the individual rights of man. See, God brings us the laws that govern us. God brings us our individual rights. They just come to us. We get them through inheritance. But does that mean we just sit there with our mouth open and let it all come in? Some people have called that the roasted duck mentality, where we just open our mouth and the roasted duck comes in. You see, there's no having to prepare it or anything. It's already prepared and we have no duty except just to open up and let it come, you see. Our duty as man is to respond. We have to respond to God through science and understanding. We have the right to reflect God in all ways. And we say, well, how do we do this? Well, we've touched briefly, and just for the sake of time saving, I've already gone through that spiritual method of problem solving, where we respond to our duties through science and the Christ consciousness by turning to that principle and submitting ourselves to that guiding principle, always asking, what is reality and how do I become one with reality? That's a duty. Mrs. Eddy gave us Science and Health which really shows us the duties of man. That's its goal. Amongst other things, it comes at the tonality of the 6,000-year period in biblical history, of that tonality of Christianity and its science. It shows that we cannot jump from the first, second, third, and 4,000-year period as presented in the Bible right into the 7,000-year period of the model of being. But the textbook really, she shows, was written as truth's volume for the 6,000-year period. That may go over some of our heads, but you may run across it later on in our work. That she presented the textbook as truth's volume. It really presents in an ordered way the duties of man. It really shows us how we can gain science and understanding, and how we can throw off the old man and its deeds and put on the new man, showing that's our duty through science and consciousness, through science and understanding, through asking what is reality and how do I become one with reality, through the 16 chapters of the textbook, which is in a 4x4 matrix, according to the subject of the science of Christianity, the science of health, the science of a healthy consciousness. We learn as it gives us the duties, and it gives us our duties. Prayer is a duty within us. The first chapter in the textbook of prayer, that's a duty. Then the second subject duty is atonement and Eucharist, the second subject in the textbook. And the next duty of man is marriage, that high sense. And the next duty of man is to understand Christian Science versus spiritualism. The textbook gives 16 different big duties of man. And if we respond to those duties through the textbook, we come out into what she shows then as being that fourth big point, as I talked about, was divine justice. Responding then to the laws of God and the individual rights of man through the duties as given to us in the textbook, that brings divine justice. See then that Mrs. Eddy, under this subject now of Mrs. Eddy's church, and as I said, this isn't really just for Christian Scientists. What she showed, and you'll see, is she gave a non-sectarian government that is operating according to the laws of the Christ, which are universal. It has nothing to do with just the Christian Science Church, though she set up the church according to the laws of God. But to see that, you'll see that by finding out what her definition of church is. And she gives then again three different definitions of church, again through that retranslation of the Christ. In her textbook, she shows that church can be defined from the first degree of the physical. That is the material church. That is the church built on land, with the structure of stone, with all its material embellishments. It has a title, usually a legal one. It holds religious services. It has administrative offices and officers. Money is required to build and maintain it. And its prosperity is measured by the number and structural quality of its churches. I think all of us have heard and know of the material church. Then she defined church from the second degree of the moral, a transitional church, which she showed was the social church or the organized church. This church is has a life-giving element in it. It has a motive underlying and governing it. But it has a religious platform still, and yet it has a higher meaning than the material church, but the material structure is still part of it. And human rules and laws govern this organized church. A manual for human rules, not the spiritual. It's those laws of moral laws govern it, the organized church. Then she shows church from the standpoint of the spiritual church. This church, she says, is the church of spiritual understanding, the church that exists in consciousness, not in a building, the church that exists in reality, the consciousness called church that needs no material structure. the consciousness called church that needs no human administration or offices or officers. Now, her church evolved this way. Her footsteps in organizing her church did the same. First, in April 12, 1879, she had her first organization, which was founded. And it says in the manual that she organized this church in April 12, 1879, to organize a church designed to commemorate the word and works of our Master, with the aim to reinstate primitive Christianity and its lost element of healing. Here we hear it's a baby footstep, it's a relative footstep. The process of reinstatement is not a spiritual standpoint. To worship good effects on faith and belief is not the highest standpoint. So she disorganized this church in July 1889 to search for a higher meaning, really to go on and write the textbook, Science and Health, which she really wanted to have as her church with its absolute doctrines. But those around her forced her to organize again. And so she said, suffer it to be so now that the Father's hand was in disorganizing. I'll organize again, but always leave it open to disorganize. She founded her second church. She says it was designed to be built on the rock of Christ, even the understanding and demonstration of divine truth, life, and love, healing and saving the world from sin and death, thus to reflect in some degree the church universal and triumphant. And that's not the church of Clare Prophet in Montana, is it? That's quoting from the Bible, that higher sense of church, the church universal and triumphant, is giving that high standpoint of consciousness of divine science. So her church has two points there on the second organized church. First, the church she organized there had two points. One, she had the church itself, which she gave from the manual, which was the mother church, and the Church of Christ Scientist, based on understanding and demonstration of the Christ and science, with its accent on good cause, not on a good effects, but it was trying to find the cause, the spiritual cause behind things. Worshipping the spiritual cause, which include good effects. And she said, if one went through the Mother Church and the Church of Christ Scientists on the basis of understanding and demonstration, that isn't the end. It's only a transitional stage which will lead you to the third degree of the Church Universal and Triumphant, where that consciousness is not primarily concerned with the laws of cause and effect, but on understanding and demonstrating in consciousness divine science, of which there cannot be a church for divine science. It's a consciousness of being which is based on the laws of isness, where she shows that there is no temple to the Church Universal and Triumphant. It has no material structure in which to worship God. For in this state of consciousness, the true church, God is worshipped in spirit and in love. So she showed then that the ultimate goal of her organization was to come out of the first degree, which she dissolved that church, and to come out of the mother church and the Church of Christ Scientists. It was a path, it was through it. But her ultimate goal, you can see, was to enter into the third degree of the spiritual church, of this Church Universal and Triumphant. You can see this in her manual and in her work, the way it's set up. And again, you have Kapler's book on Christian government to back up what I'm saying. I can only just present the subject in a general way. Her church really foresaw that there would be no split between church and state, that church and government was the same. For in the third degree of the spiritual church was based on the spiritual understanding and demonstration of divine science. That was just the concept of church. It's a state of consciousness, a spiritual understanding and demonstrating of design science. And government in the spiritual realm is theocratic, which is government by the divine principle love, which is divine science. And so ultimately she saw that church and state were one when it comes to the level of divine science. That split is resolved when one goes into that third degree where church and government become the same thing. It's government under theocracy, the laws of God, and that is our state of consciousness. Now, she set up then her manual, which she gave to the religion. She gave the church manual. It's only the social church of the second degree and the organized church of the second degree that needs a manual. The third degree doesn't need a manual of human rules and how to run an organization. Our manual she gave for the third degree is science and health, the laws of God. The time for thinkers has come. She says, all right, to the religionists, I give you a church and I give you a manual, and hopefully you'll come out of it all and come to what I really want is a textbook, which are the absolute doctrines, and that is government by theocracy, which is self-government according to the textbook. It has nothing to do with this church business of organization. But if you need organization, fine, and I'll give you the manual for a religionist if you want it. So she published in 1895 her manual, which contained these rules and laws governing her mother church and its legal aspect, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. These rules and laws in the manual are not absolute doctrines of Christian Science. They're not laws of God. As I said, the laws of God are in the textbook and Bible. They are necessary rules for governing an organized church, and they are adapted, she says, to form the budding thought. They're adapted to help us in the beginning, but she shows that they help us so far, but they're laws of limitation. She called her manual Laws of Limitation in Miscellany 229. But she says these laws of limitation are concession to the material methods, which are for the advancement of spiritual good. If you need religion, have it. But realize it's the second degree and that you'll come out of an organized sense of religion and all that goes on in a material organization, and you'll come out into the church universal and triumphant. You'll just come out and be governed by God alone and won't need all this human organization. Her government of the Mother Church on the second degree is terrific. As stated in the manual, she really had a government which was the theocratic dictatorship of an angel, which was essentially democratic. Remember, Plato dimly foresaw that the ideal form of government would be the philosopher king. Until kings become philosophers or philosopher kings, there is no hope for the state. Mrs. Eddy set up her church on that basis, her mother church. She was the mother behind the mother church. And her government was theocratic. It was under the immediate direction of the laws of God. But it was a dictatorship because the laws of God alone operated. And they were, through revelation, revealed to the inspired thought of an angel. She let those laws of God inspire her, and with her angel consciousness, her Christ consciousness, her mind of Christ, she set up a government which was basically, essentially democratic, and because she allowed those laws to be reflected everywhere. But she, as I said, was the mother behind the mother church. She was its whole government. Everything in the manual practically depends on the consent of the pastor emeritus, Mary Baker Eddy, and on her method of discovery, revelation, reason, and demonstration. In her manual of the church, as I say, she was a mother behind the church. Even today, though Mrs. Eddy is no longer with us, her manual still says that no tenet or bylaw of the manual can be adopted, nor the existing ones amended or annulled, nor the manual revised without the written consent of Mary Baker Eddy, and she's no longer here. And when they brought that up to her before she passed, she said, no, that's how she wants it. It was revealed to her that way from God. She saw that she was the mother, and at the time her infant church, her branch churches needed that mother consciousness, and she wasn't going to let her branch church or her children come out of the inspirational government of an angel. But she knew that that mother consciousness would give way to motherhood or government by God alone. So what we see then in her hands solely remained the executive, legislative, and judicial power of the Mother Church, which was then theocratic, autocratic, and it was essentially democratic from the sense that she allowed for mutual consent of the governed, that the Christian Science Board of Directors were allowed through the deed of trust, along with the Board of Trustees and the deed of trust, to have some type of mutual consent. They worked together through certain mutual consent as set up in the manual, and I really haven't time to go into that one. All right, so in the 5 minutes allowed, and as I say, I may have to speed up the pace of my talking to get this in, but to summarize it, Mrs. Eddy really, with her passing, according to the manual, and as I say, you have Kapler's book to go into it if you like, according to the manual, the Mother Church would be the first to dissolve. When the mother's gone, the Mother Church was gone. She was the mother and she was the church behind the Mother Church. And according to the estoppel clauses, all that was to remain after her passing would be the branch churches, of which the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts, was to remain as a branch church. And those branch churches were to remain under the democratic government as provided in the manual. They couldn't do always everything they liked. The manual dictated more or less their democratic type of government. And that the Christian Science Board of Directors in the Deed of Trust of 1892 and the trustees of the Christian Science Publishing Society, according to the Deed of Trust of 1898, they should stay in office, but not in relation to the Mother Church. The Mother Church should dissolve, and they should have their duties within the democratic government of the branch churches and the Christian Science Publishing Society, of which the manual gives certain duties that they would have within the democratic government. But my, how the church today has maintained its a false sense of government. Now, we see then that in Christ in Christmas, Mrs. Eddy's last picture, and this may be a bit difficult to see, but you would have the book on Christ in Christmas. Her last picture in that illustrated poem is called The Way, and it deals specifically with the subject of church. And it shows here, in summary, what she expected of the Christian Scientist. She expected with the Black Cross that that would be her first church organization, the material church, which was dissolved, the first degree. Then she saw that there would be a second degree or stage, the budding cross in birds, that second church, the organized church, that organized church with its manual set up for the mother church under the hierarchical control of an angel, based on theocracy, autocracy, and the democracy of the government of Mrs. Eddy. Then she saw that the manual would be set up for the Church of Christ Scientists, which would be essentially democratic. And with her passing, she saw that the Mother Church, this second degree, which is always sometimes beautiful but always erroneous, the danger would be wanting to stay in the second organization with all its budding thoughts, but it's the buds are there. It's a church for the budding thought, for the beginner. But she saw that one has to go on. And one goes on, finally, to the third degree, to the crown. To the imperial crown, symbolizing the church universal and triumphant of divine science. That church which is based on spiritual understanding of divine science and the absolute doctrines as found in science and health. That third degree where we went across. See, she didn't show three crosses, did she? She shows the first degree as a black cross of a physical church. She shows that the second degree, her organized church, was a cross, but it was necessary. It was a concession to the human for the advancement of spiritual good, and a lot of us, including myself, was benefited through church organization. But I came out of church organization when I realized that I wanted the crown, the government of my theocracy, the government by the textbook itself. And therefore, she saw then that that would be the ultimate thing, with that we would go in to a third symbol of the imperial crown and to wear the crown of theocracy, which would be government under the immediate direction of those self-organizing laws of God, divine science. And in that sense of government, man governed by his creator is self-governed. And from this crown, we can't see it here, but in her book you'll see it, in Christ and Christmas, there's a dove coming back to the second church. And that's been interpreted as the dove of divine science, which Mrs. Eddy calls the dove in her book. She calls it divine science. Divine science or generic man, bringing that message from the crown of self-government under theocracy. And Mrs. Eddy said that her successor would not be a person, but her successor would be generic man, mankind itself, not a person, but man governed by his creator, which is self-governed. That is the successor to Mrs. Eddy in that church, universal and triumphant, that state of consciousness of divine science, which is attained through understanding and the demonstration gained through the Bible and the textbook. Thank you. I did it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I really do. Thank you.